there's people and there's constituents and then there's like stuff, right? And so I've been praying for her, for the Lord to give her a better job, better mortgage paying job with less stress, with more pay. So at least something would be knocked off her list, right? So she calls me Monday night in a explosive mode, like blah, she's having a melt. You know, kids have melts. She was having a melt. And I said, like, I prayed for you. She's like, well, it's not working. And I'm like, you just kind of sigh and go, okay, I'm still going to pray for you. It's all going to be okay. She calls me the next day. She said, I have some good news for you. I'm like, oh, really? Well, the mortgage paying job issue has been solved. Long story short, I'm not going to go into the long story. She's going to be under a new boss, under a new department, doing the same thing with more pay. And she actually, I just praise the Lord because she actually saw him move. And the night before, she's melting, like, it's not working. But the Lord was working behind the scenes. So it doesn't matter what things look like. He's working something out behind the scenes. And so that's my testimony. And she gave me another thing to pray for, so I'm praying for that. So.
Thank you. I had to run back there and get the tape turned on. Yeah.
Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Have you ever noticed that the new translations of the Bible almost always start with new? We got the New International Version and the New Living Translation and the New American Standard and the New King James and all that kind of stuff. I've even heard many messages out of Lewis Reese translation. This afternoon, I got a new verse in the DJ translation. I was having a bad moment this afternoon, and I was allowing negative thoughts just to overwhelm me for a moment. And the Lord began to speak to me. And he said, greater is he that's in me than the world that is in me. The world was trying to raise up its ugly head and have me substitute negative emotions instead of being in tune and alignment with what it is that God is doing. Like Leisha, I walked into this place tonight just with a spirit of expectancy, just expecting the Holy Spirit to move. I told Todd that I was praying for him because I really felt that the Holy Spirit was going to move tonight. But I just want to encourage you. I had a unique ministry opportunity immediately before I came tonight to minister to some Iranian students who are operating in a spirit of fear. Now, these are the exact people that you want in America. Not only are they born-again, blood-washed, spirit-filled children of the King, but they're all working on their PhDs, both husbands, both wives. And the people they represent are going to be incredibly talented contributors to our society, you know, solving cancer and all kinds of other issues. But they're scared to death with what's going on in Iran and all the deportations that are coming, that their status here is going to be affected. So I did what you do in the natural. I picked up the phone after I was requested to do so. And I talked to people in politics that I know, and I talked to people who are recent immigrants who have gone through the process. And I was reminded by a friend of mine from South Africa who's just recently come over and been given permanent status by our president when he was when they were experiencing persecution in South Africa, where it's illegal now for a white person to have a job if a black person can do the job, even if you own the company. That's tough. And so, you know, my brother came over here and he was telling me all the things that you have to sign and come into agreement with. And he says, as long as you're not breaking the law and you're not screaming death to America, you don't have anything to worry about. They're not going to send you back to a war zone. And so I was speaking those things to the Iranian students. And I was trying to encourage them and speak life into them. And I was speaking logic, and I was speaking with authority after having talked to people in authority, and it didn't make a difference. But we ended the meeting with prayer. And I just began to pray that God would fill their home with his presence, that he would fill them with his peace that passes all understanding. And we all can recognize the body language of fear when somebody is being fearful. And their body language didn't change no matter what I said, no matter what Roger Lurie, who put the meeting together to them, to encourage them, that they didn't have to worry about what was going on. You know, President Trump called the Australian Prime Minister and asked him to give the Iranian soccer ladies asylum when it was not safe for them to go back home. And he said, if you don't do it, we will, you know. But that didn't make any difference. But when we prayed and God intervened, you could see the body language change. And I love what Zig Ziglar always said. No, it's not scripture, but it is true that fear is false evidence appearing real. I've dealt with it. I'm sure everybody else has dealt with it and everything tonight at times in your life. I'm not saying that you're dealing necessarily with fear tonight, but I really feel that God has given us that sense of anticipation of what he's going to do in this place, in this hour, both for our nation and just for those of us collectively here at the gathering tonight. That as he does that new thing that he promised, and we have that spirit of expectancy, that we have to leave behind that false evidence that's appearing real. We have to leave behind the circumstances of the moment. We have to leave behind the negative thoughts that are holding us back. I was speaking to Rita before the service. And we all know how difficult it is when you got one foot in Egypt and you're stepping out in faith across the Jordan to go into the promised land. But when you got one foot up and one foot down and you haven't planted that other foot yet, that's a hard place to be. We get it. We really, truly do get it. But obedience is better than sacrifice. And if God is calling you to take the new land, then you've got to boldly take that step and walk across the Jordan and into your destiny and into the things that God is calling you to do and be who God called you to be and not be held back by the circumstances of this life, even if it's life-threatening disease like Rita has gone through and others in this room have gone through, because God's still in the healing business. If you're here and you're alive, you're here for a purpose. Amen. Because he has something for you to accomplish at this time with your eternal destiny. The gifts and the callings of God will never be revoked, and a person's gift will make room for them. And if you're walking in your gifting, and if you're listening to the Holy Spirit, and you're being obedient to that which he is calling you to do, then he's going to use you. Don't be a Job. You know, everybody talks about Jonah and the big fish and the whale. That's not what I take away from that story. You know what I take away from that story? That God accomplishes his will in spite of us. Jonah's having a pity party. Jonah has a stinking bad attitude. And after he finally got spit up back on the beach and everything, all right, God, I'll go do it. And he goes and preaches to Nineveh with a horrible bad attitude. But God said what? That his word is not going to return void. And when Jonah spoke the word of the Lord obediently, then the city of Nineveh was turned. And this huge city was changed and all the inhabitants because of his obedience, even though Jonah got in the way. But how much more can we accomplish joyfully the things that God is calling us to do if we get our attitude out of the way and our, you know, our stinking thinking, and we go about doing things the right way? When you see the word righteousness in Scripture, it's frequently meaning in the original languages, it means doing things God's way. When you look at those scriptures about righteousness, doing things God's way, if you want to accomplish the purposes that you were put on this earth to accomplish, the kingdom purposes, then you have to do things God's way. You have to do it with a joyful heart. What does Scripture say that God's reaction to a joyful heart is? I leave you with that.
Amen.
Before Christmas, around Christmas time, I started feeling like I needed to go and visit my brother. I didn't know what he had said, that he was planning to have some kind of surgery on his arms, but I didn't know what it was. And so my husband and I packed up and we went to Richmond, Virginia to stay with my brother and his wife. And I found out that he needed to have, he had problems with his elbows, and the veins and the nerves needed to go in there and clean out the nerves or the veins, and he didn't know for sure exactly what they were going to do till they got in there. He was trying to figure out which arm he was going to work on first, the right one or the left. And so while I was there, I didn't pray for him. We prayed at meals, but I just loved on him. That's all I did. And his wife's mother was in a nursing home. And so we went and visited her, and I gave her a salvation bracelet and some of the other people's salvation bracelets. And just loved on him. That's all I did. And then a couple of weeks later, my sister-in-law's mother passed away, and she was still wearing the salvation bracelet I gave her. And so my brother said, he had told me he was going to have that surgery on his arms in February. And so I call him up in February and I say, well, tell me more about that surgery. When did you say they were going to do that surgery? And he said, I don't need to have that surgery now. I don't need to have it. My arms are working okay. They might stop working down the road, but right now they're working. And he's not as a matter of fact, he doesn't want to hear about God. He feels like God's let him down in so many other areas. And this man actually designs those rockets that go off the back of the ship that went into Iran. He helped design those and he helped test them. But right now he's retired and he's seeing the work of his hands. But his arms are well. He's well now. He didn't have to have the surgery.
Well, you know, we're saying that the lady had the issue of blood. She didn't have to. Jesus didn't pray for her neither. All she did was touch his garment and he healed her. For you loving on him, he will work right through you with no problem at all, and that's the reason why I'm up here tonight. I just want to tell y'all a little testimony here. I have to do a little backstory. I got a boy who works with me. His name's Nick, and some of y'all done heard this one time before, but I had to tell this before I could tell the other one. Nick, I hadn't seen him in a while, and he come to my shop, and I work with the Department of Corrections down here, and we probably have 2,000 people working with us. And I said, Nick, I hadn't seen you in a while. I said, but where you been? He says, I had a stroke. I said, really? I said, and what did it do? Did it affect Jenny at all? He says, yeah. And when I looked at him, he wears glasses, and over his right glass, he had black electrical tape on it. And I said, what you got that on there for? He says, it killed my eye. He says, I can see just a tiny bit out of the dead center right here. He says, I can't look left or right, up or down, and the little bit that I can see is double vision. And he says, I can't drive like that. Well, he has a class 3 license, and you can't have, which is a class A, and you cannot have that and only have one eye. So he just adopted 3 little kids from his niece who was on drugs bad and was going to lose the kids. So he took them 2, 3, and 4, and he loved them kids more than anything in the world. So he was turning his truck in, he was going to lose his job. So Charles Haynes, who comes in here, and his wife Kathy, he told me one time that I was a parking lot preacher. And the day before I seen Nick, I was in the grocery store, and the girl in front of me was complaining about her back hurting. Well, I was going to pray for her, and she got out of the store. The girl was ringing me up, was real slow, and I didn't have much. She took too long, and the girl got out the parking lot. So I told Terry when I got home, I said, yeah, I was going to pray for a girl. And I said, Sarah's back with her. She said, would you pray for her? I said, no, I didn't pray for her. So at work, well, Nick was in there, and he told me all that right there. He went to get in his truck with another boy that actually was dropping his truck off. And he got it in the parking lot, and then he hit me. I said, well, don't go pray for him, Terry. You're going to jump on me when I get home. So I went out there, and I said, Nick. He said, yeah. I said, Bo, I said, you mean to pray for you? He says, yeah, sure. So I walked up to him. I didn't know it, but I walked up to his blind side, and I put my hand on his head. He goes, oh, what you doing? I said, well, I'm going to be still. I'm just going to pray for you right here. So I prayed for him, and I prayed that that his eye would come into order, all the nerves and the blood flow come in, the cornea and everything, and the iris come back into order. And I said, and you're a son of God, and Jesus is going to heal you the day or the night or tomorrow. I said, just receive it. So I didn't see him for about a week or so when he come in there and with the same boy and in another truck. And he was smiling like a mule eating briars. I said, Nick, I said, how you feeling? He said, I'm doing good, real good. And the boy was with him. I looked at him. I noticed something was different. And I just didn't know what was different. So the boy was with him. I said, Bo, go on and tell him, Nick. So I looked at him, and I noticed he had a black electrical tape over his eye right there. He said, Bo, you ain't going to believe it. Jesus healed me that night. And the boy who was with him, said, you won't believe it. He said, he come running there screaming and jumping like a little kid. He says, I ain't never seen no 70-year-old person do that right there before. So I said, well, that's great. There's nothing wrong with that at all. And he hardly ever wears his glasses anymore. So probably about 4 weeks ago, I had to go pick a boy up, broke down about 60 miles from the shop. So I had to go pick him up. And his name's Steve. So I asked Steve, I said, Steve, what do you do for our company? And he says, well, I'm a teacher. I said, okay. He goes to all the prisons. And he says, now I also try to minister to people. I said, really? He says, yeah. He says, I got a trunk load of Bibles out here. I said, all right. Well, I said, I tell you what. I said, do you believe in laying hands on people and healing them and stuff? And I was telling him about the gathering. I said, you need to come out here. And he said, well, tell me something. So I told him about Nick because he knows Nick. And I said, and if you don't believe me, just go ask Nick. And then also, too, we had another boy, and I can't remember his name now to save my life. He looks like old Mo off of Curly Larry and Mo, got that old bowl haircut on him, and he plays music for any revivals out there. And we had a revival in Chapin here a couple years ago, and it was 7 days long right here on 76, right over here next to Par 3, and that Par 3 was a little driving range, and it was a Par 3, too, at one time. And that boy right there, he was in there, and he plays music for all the revivals, and they were real good, him and a couple of boys. They got guitars and drums. So he stopped us about the third night. He says, I've never done this before in my life. He says, if anybody in here, he knows me and Terry lays hands on people. So he says, Robert and Terry, I say, and if anybody in here can lay hands on me, he says, I've never stopped service before. He says, I'm on Oxycontin and every opioid out there. My back kills me so bad I can't go to sleep at night, and I'm on 4 different kinds of dope, and I want to get off of it. I want my back to quit hurting. And he says, told it like it was. He says, if you don't believe it, it's going to work, you don't believe in the Lord, you don't believe it, he said, don't even come up here. So me and Terry and a few other people went up there. We laid hands on him. The next night, he says, his pain was gone. He's not on no dope at all. And to this day right now, he's on no dope at all. So I was telling Steve about that right there. I said, you can go talk to him because he works for facilities maintenance. I said, you can go talk to him. So he says, Robert, he says, well, I tell you what I want you to do. He says, I want you to pray for me. I said, all right. And so I just prayed for him, and I prayed for good health and for the Lord to give him the right words to talk to the inmates, because some of the inmates, a lot of them, oh, Lord, has been there probably 15, 20, 30 years for murder, everything else in the world. And they know the Bible better than anybody I ever heard in my life. Hey, look here, they can tell you any scripture, anything you want to know out of anything. And that's something I can't do. So I told them, I said, I just give them the Lord, give them strength, and give them the right words to say to all the inmates in there. So he said, man, I appreciate that very much. Well, then 3 weeks ago, he come in there and he says, Robert, he says, I'm glad you're here today. I said, well, what's going on, Steve? He says, well, I'm just going to have to tell you. I said, what's that? He says, you remember when I asked you to pray for me? I said, yeah. He says, well, bad as I hate to say it, I was testing God. I said, what you mean testing God? He said, my side right here is hurting so bad I can't stand it. I was going to the doctors that afternoon. It's been killing me. It took them a week for them to get into the doctors. And he said, it's been hurting me so bad I can't stand it. I don't know if I got appendicitis or whatever. And I said, all right. And I said, so what you telling me? He said, when you prayed for me, he said the pain was gone that afternoon. He said, I canceled the doctor's appointment, and it hadn't come back yet. So my encouragement to y'all is you can do it in a parking lot, grocery store, anywhere. Just get out there. And people, it's so funny, and believe me, I'm the worst person in here. Don't get me wrong, and I don't know why the Lord even uses me at all. But I can tell you like it is, all you have to do is listen to anybody, whether you're standing next to them in a grocery store or anywhere in the gas station. You'll hear people talking about how they're hurting or just look like they're feeling down. And you just walk up to them and ask them, hey, look here, can I pray for you today or how can I pray for you? And 99.9% of the time they say, yes, you don't mind. And then they'll tell you, man, nobody's ever prayed for me before in my life. And I just encourage everybody to get out there and start doing a little more praying for the Lord. And that's it. Thank you.
Yes, come on up. You might get the preacher tonight, and you might not.
Hey, guys. My name's Ginger. This is the second time I've been here, and I just wanted to testify about the healing that happened last week and the breakthrough and got a lot of learning and learning to protect that, but really did feel the spirit of the Lord and his healing and his love, and so I just wanted to share that.
Sue.
But I do want to give glory. I do want to give glory to the Lord because he's so good, and I want to thank all of you for your agreement and prayer. I mean, that is so important. There's so much life in that, because one meeting I came to, and I beg at Publix, and my hand, I couldn't even put it across the counter, and it was hurting so much. I'm thinking, how in the world can I beg tomorrow? What in the world am I going to do with this hand? You know, it's not going to be working for me. And so agreement and prayer was made, and the good Lord, I give him the glory because the pain was gone. And I could go to work, and there was no pain, and I could pick up all these heavy things, and there was no pain. And, you know, you just want to give thanks to the Lord more and more, continuously, all day long. I want to encourage you to do that. I'm sorry, I wasn't talking to the microphone. But because I just thought about that tornado today, you know, it was supposed to touch down, you know. Tornado warnings, you know, we have to give thanks to the Lord. I was out there in the parking lot of Publix, and there's this, like, it was so dark as night. I mean, and they came out and told me there's a tornado watch, so I thank the Lord that it did not touch down.
Me too.
Me three.
Thank you. All right, anybody else?
So, you know, I pray for the homeless on Thursdays, and today I went, and last week there was a girl named Kim. She never wants prayer. She's one of the first ones in line. The girls go first. She never wants prayer, but she was there, and she had a black patch over her, right eye, and I saw her, and I said, Kim, what's going on? And she had just gotten out of the hospital. She had left her contacts in too long. She got this terrible infection. She was hospitalized for a week, and she was going to have a corneal transplant. And so Paige, that comes here sometimes, who works for the ministry, she was there. I said, Paige, I said, let's pray for Kim, you know. And like I said, Kim never wants prayer. And so I told Paige what was going on and said, and Paige had had something similar happen to her. And I said, well, Paige, you've got the faith for it. You pray. So Paige, pray for her. So I go today. And Kim's there. No patch. She can see flying out of her eye. She is still sensitive to light. And she let me pray for her a second time that the sensitivity would go. But it's not. She's not going to need a corneal transplant. Thank you, Lord.
You know, Doug was talking about Iran, and I heard this on Fox News, and it was amazed me, talking about how many people are coming to Jesus in Iran. It's like a, you know, a revival over there. And, you know, if you profess Christ as your Savior in Iran, they will kill you immediately. And to hear that the Spirit of God is moving in that way is so exciting. So, and we need to be praying for, continually for this whole situation in Iran. It has the potential to catapult us into something else that we don't want. So these are kind of dangerous times and all. And, you know, Stephanie gave us a nice, beautiful word last week before Todd came to talk about how, you know, it seemed like the world's going to hell in a handbasket. And we all know that time is short, don't we? We all know that it's very, very, very close. I mean, everybody I talk to has the same feeling. And I remember about, let's share one little thing with you. I remember about 10 years ago, I had one of the most significant dreams I've ever had in my life. I'm not going to tell you the whole dream, but there were these angels that took me to another place. They rescued me and so forth. And they were, and I was asking them questions, and they kept referring to God as El Elyon, which I never use that term in my own normal self. I even had to look it up just to make sure. I knew it was the name of God or a title for God, and it means God Most High or the Most High God. But they kept referring to him as Elyon, and I remember asking him this question. I said, when will the end come? And they gave me one of the most profound answers that I have ever heard, and I knew it that I really had a meeting with angels because of this answer. And they said this, El Elyon has decreed the number of souls to be born to man. That number is almost complete. And I woke up and wrote all this down, and I thought it was one of the most profound things I've ever saw. We know that time is short. Amen. And anytime we could be with our Lord Jesus, praise the Lord. So it can be scary times, as Doug said, but also, too, they are wonderful times. God has destined us to be alive and today, you and me, at this time in his creation. So we're here for a purpose. And, you know, Doug was up here, and, you know, I'll tell you that I've been encouraged here so many times coming to these meetings. And Doug, about within the last 8 months, has given me two of the most encouraging words that I've had in a very long, long time. And I appreciate his prophetic gifting. Todd, it's been a couple of years and I got one from him, but I thank God for, you know, people encouraging one another. Amen. And the word of the Lord come in this place and God speaking and giving words of encouragement to people. And it flows in here so wonderfully and so beautifully. And we thank God for that. Amen. All right, Todd's coming. The Lord has given Todd the tongue of the learned, that he should know how to speak a word in season to those who are weary. He awakens him morning by morning. He awakens his ear to hear as learned. The Lord God has opened his ear, and he was not rebellious, nor did he turn away. Amen. Thank you, Todd. Come on up, brother.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. I really enjoyed just listening to everybody. I could just stay back there for sure. Just really been it's been a good day. And we glad this. Thanks for not letting the tornadoes touch down. I was, I know what's so weird where my house is. It's like there was two warning boxes, and I was like, it was like split. For some reason, the weather just splits when it comes to my house. It's weird, you know. Especially like when you need rain, and all of a sudden it just doesn't hit you. So, but and I'm glad that the tornadoes didn't touch down. But my son and I were definitely anticipating it. So anyway, well, Father, I just thank you for being here right now. I just ask you to give me unction now in the Holy Spirit. I just ask you to manifest yourself whichever way you see fit. Thank you for your presence in this place. I thank you, Father, for the healings that you're performing in our midst and the healings that you're performing to those that leave this place, Lord God, and touching other people that are out there. Father, we're just very much aware of the seasons and the times that we're actually living in, and I thank you, Father, that you're preparing your body for such a tremendous move of your Spirit on the planet, Lord God, because it is your will that no man would perish. We just thank you for that, God. We just give you all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. If you have your Bibles with you, turn up to 2 Timothy. And you know, when we get born again and we get the baptism of the Spirit and we get like a surge of this is the power of God in our life, and it's a wonderful thing to experience that and to have that ongoing, you know. And I think that a lot of things in our life are a lot about momentum, and you know what it's like not to have the momentum, you know, and you know what it's like, you know, you feel like you're just not getting anywhere. But you know, there's a time and there's a season. We talked about this last week, some the seasons of God, but there's where the wind is at your back. And I believe that God's wind, the south wind, as we read in the Song of Solomon, which is a prophetic book where the Spirit of God says, arise, O north wind, and now come south wind, and blow upon my garden. And we're the garden of God, and his blowing on us. But it's in everything in God, it seems like he wants us, he always gives us choices. And we have choices. We have a free will. He doesn't make us love him. He doesn't make you do or us to do anything. He doesn't send people to hell. They choose to go there. And so there's always a choice. And this particular scripture that I'm going to use today, I've got two of them. I don't know if I can get to the next one. But these scriptures that I'm looking at is about choices. And you have something to do with that. And when you start making the right choices in your life of what you are to do, and if you make those choices based on truth, they're usually the correct choices. Because a lot of times we make choices out of emotions. And emotions are not true. They could be, but a lot of times they're not. And I know because I've been fooled by my emotions many times in my life, more than I can count. But truth has never let me down. And he is the Spirit of truth. It says, Jesus says that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. There's no emotion in that. And so I want to encourage you that, you know, if you're making a lot of your decisions based on emotion, it can get you in a lot of trouble. It's nice when our emotions are lined up with the Word of God, by the way. And it's not like God doesn't want us to have experience emotions because he gave us those things. But they don't lead us. We're led by the Holy Spirit and not by emotions. But I think a lot of times, at least I made many decisions as a young man by emotions. And, you know, even my choice of college. You know, I remember I was graduating and I had my sweetheart, my high school sweetheart, and I wanted to marry her and be with her and so forth. And she went to Butler University, and Butler didn't have any diving, and I was destined to be on a scholarship with diving, and Illinois did. And Illinois was about an hour and a half from Butler, and so I made my decision to go to Illinois. That was in my decision. It was an emotional decision, and it was a bad decision. It really was, because it didn't work out. She joined a sorority, and that was the end of us. It was not that, but you know, even the program there was not even at the level of the one that I'd left. But the coach was a good man, and he did tell me to give everything to Jesus, and he was definitely born again, and so the Lord really used him. But I made that. It was a bad decision, And so, you know, I can go through my life and I can see how I made bad decisions, but I also can go through my life and I can determine how truth, when I was confronted with it, when I knew it, and I based my decisions on truth, that there was success behind it and there was liberty behind it. So in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 30, it says here, it says, but in the great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of utensils of wood and earthenware, and some for honorable and noble use, and some for menial and ignoble use. So whoever cleanses himself from what is ignoble and unclean, who separates himself from the contact and contaminating and corrupting influences, will then himself be a vessel set apart and useful for honorable and noble purposes, consecrated and profitable to the master, fit and ready for any good work. So it says, starts out in that verse, it says, so whoever cleanses himself. And the reason why I want to point that out to you is because you have a decision to make on whether you want to clean yourself up or not clean yourself up. It's not something, now it's something that you can invite the Holy Spirit to help you with. You know, come clean me up and create within me a clean heart. Those prayers are really good, but it's still a decision that you have to make. And the reason that Paul is laying this out there is because, to me, the way that Paul teaches, I like the way that God uses him, because he always throws a carrot out there. You know, there's always some kind of reward out there. And so when he sits there and says, whoever cleanses himself, who separates himself, will be set apart and useful for honorable and noble purposes, consecrated and profitable to the master, fit and ready for any good work. And so I like the carrot, because there's a desire within you to be pleasing unto the Lord. There's a desire in you as a minister that's called, as a person that's called, to be involved in good works. And I think a lot of times that what I've seen over the years is a lot of our talents and giftings are here, but maybe our character needs to get caught up with where that those giftings are. Because a lot of people that are very gifted, if you look at their lives sometimes, they're a complete wreck. And yet they minister great, and yet they move in the power of God and so forth, but they're just a mess. And so it's important to have both. And a lot of times, you know, we call these guys pillow prophets, that they talk about things, but they don't talk about the sanctification part of the Spirit of God. There's a sanctification of the Spirit, that the Holy Spirit works in you and me, but there again, it's a decision that we have to make if we want to have that cleansing power of the blood of Jesus Christ move in the nook and crannies of our life to change us. And so I really want to point that out to you, because if you really want to be a vessel of honor, then you have to cleanse yourself. And you cleanse yourself through reading not just reading the Word of God and not just praying, but spending time in His presence and taking on the guise of a servant. Because the servant is the head. Because when you have the attitude of a servant, you're humbling yourself under the power of the Holy Spirit, and you're serving people. You're serving everyone that you come in contact with. It's one of the quickest ways. If I can give you just kind of a real quick manual on how to walk and get cleansed real quick, is you start serving the Holy Spirit with everybody. And yet is in your mind and is in your heart and is actually activated when you're communicating with anybody. You are thinking about serving the Holy Spirit. And your conversation and the way that you deal with the individuals, and that's everybody from your spouse to your kids to whatever it might be, the people at work, the way that you communicate, the way that you see them, the way that you are to them, are all in God. if you want it. You don't have to want it. God isn't going to make you want it. He isn't going to push you into this stuff. But it's something that we all have faced. We know we know the areas that we need to be cleaned up in. Because the Holy Spirit is very good at convicting. He convicts. And sometimes the areas that he moves in us, a lot of these areas are in our attitudes that we have. But I'm telling you, I'm giving you keys to the kingdom right here, how to punch through bad attitudes, bad feelings, bad ideas, bad perceptions. It all cuts through when you get down and say, I am a servant. I am going to serve the Holy Spirit. And when you get and confront people and you start serving them in the Holy Spirit, the way that you view them will change. It's not overnight. It might even be mechanical at first. But over a period of time, the power of God will start to move through you and you will start to see them as he sees them. And that love is way beyond anything you could even ask or think of. And it will pierce their very heart because the words that will be coming out of you will be of his Spirit, which contains power. That's to me. Now, when I move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that is what comes through me. I see people as he sees them. Now, I may not have all of it. I may just have a part of it, but I have enough of it to feel what, you know, it's like, I kind of hate to use the word feeling, but it's like, it's pure love. It's unbelievable. And so this is the way that you get to a place of cleansing, and you can do that immediately. So whoever cleanses himself, who separates himself, will then be a vessel set apart and useful for honorable and noble purposes, consecrated and profitable to the master. And so that's the choosing. Many are called, few are chosen. That's the choosing. The Holy Spirit chooses to use you because you've gone through this process of cleansing yourself because you want it. You want to be pleasing unto him. It's a way of returning the love that he gave to you, the sacrifice, but also to the fact that he says, given you eternal life. Let's face it, all of us here have some type of expression towards your Father in heaven that you thank you so much. And that expression is something that we all desire to give to him. Well, this is the way you can do it. Shun youthful lusts, and flee from them, and aim and pursue righteousness. That's a decision, to aim and pursue righteousness. All that is virtuous and good, right living, conformity to the will of God, in these three areas, conformity to the will of God in thought, in word, and in deed. These are the three arenas. The thought life. I mean, can you just for a moment here, the thought life that we have, the kind of garbage that we allow to come through us at times, or even that we expose ourselves to. We don't capture thoughts. Sometimes we just go off and just start thinking. And then you start entertaining everything. And every thought you have is your thought. Sometimes you have thoughts that are being projected at you from the pit. And then you got your own thoughts. Then you got the Holy Spirit's thoughts. There's a lot of thoughts going on. And I mean, you think of how many thoughts we have a day. There are thousands of them. But why in the world would the Apostle Paul, and why would the Scriptures tell us to capture thoughts if we couldn't do it? It's simply a matter of choice. It's simply a matter of awareness. And it doesn't happen overnight, and the Holy Spirit is not going to knock you upside the head. It is a process, but I'm telling you, saints, it's something that can be accomplished because you develop an awareness of it. You know, I've had thoughts that were just so bizarre sometimes. I mean, they were so obvious they weren't my thought, and I say that. That's not my thought. Or a thought will come through, and I'll say, well, I'm thinking about this. I separate it from myself. You know, as if it's a cloud coming by or something coming by. I separate it. I evaluate it. Do I want that thought or do I not want that thought? You know, it's like the other day. I wanted ice cream so bad, I knew there was a chocolate ice cream bar in there. And, you know, I knew that I shouldn't eat it because, you know, my cholesterol was a little high and just not probably a good thing. And plus, my wife would not frown upon it as well. So there was another reason. And so, but I had the thought. And I'm saying, I'm having a thought of getting a chocolate bar. And so I'm just identifying it. And I'm contemplating whether I'm going to obey it or not. You see, I know it seems kind of menial, but we have thoughts that come at us sometime. And you know, here I am making an attempt to not eat sweets. It's something I've purposed. And so I am being challenged in this area. And then the other thoughts came on top of it. Well, you know, you can start that tomorrow. You don't have to necessarily do it today. Because that chocolate bar will not be there because you know that your daughter Hannah will take it and eat it. And she doesn't need it either. In fact, nobody needs this in this house. I mean, the thoughts are going on and on and on in my head. Do you see how it works?
Get thee behind me,
Sean. Yeah, exactly. Why did I eat it? I don't know why I ate it. I shouldn't have ate it. And then I felt bad about it. But I did eat it. Now, I need to cleanse myself from that stuff. I'm going to get another opportunity when I leave here. Because I know exactly how many are left in there. Do you see how badly how I'm being? Something has got me. Do you see what I'm saying? I'm even talking about it tonight. So I'm just pointing this out to you because we have thoughts that come at us that we lose our war a lot of times, but we also, there are times, and you know there are times, where you have stood up against your thoughts. But the scriptures are telling us here that to shun these things, to flee from them. And it tells us how to aim and pursue righteousness. So there's an aim, there's a target, there's a goal, there is a objective on a daily basis that you and I are to aim for. And this is a Christian life of purpose. It's a Christian life of understanding that we're going to stand before Him, and that's going to be a good day for you and me because we're going to start doing the things that it takes to become these vessels of honor and get to the place where we control our thought life and get a handle on it. Because some people are out of control in their minds. And the kind of things, the things that are being released on this planet right now, if you could see in the realm, in the second heaven, if you could understand what is being released and what is being bombarded in the realm of the mind, the scripture says in the days of Noah that the thoughts of man were continually on evil only. That God was judging the thoughts that were going on in humanity at the time. That was part of the judgment. It manifested in violence, but it was the thoughts. And the thoughts got so bad that man lost his true direction, and that was out of the word of God. That was out of his mouth. He said, man has lost his true direction. Your thoughts are directing you. And so when we have the mind of Christ manifesting within us and we're serving the Holy Spirit, it turns on those thoughts. So I should have done that. I should have served myself. I should have said, Todd, now, you don't need that chocolate bar. And I love you very much. I care about you, and I don't want your belly to grow. So you can do it. And just walk away from that chocolate bar. You see, I didn't do that. But I could have. So, read on here. It says, shun unusual lust, flee from them, aim and pursue righteousness. Living conformably in the will of God in thought and then word. The word. The words that come out of our mouth. You know, Jesus, because he only spoke the words of the Father, he had the Spirit without measure. But everything that came out of his mouth had to come to pass because it was the Word of God. He was God in the flesh. He never went around saying, it tickled me to death. He didn't have any idle talk. I mean, think of his life growing up with him. And so, you know, our words that come out of our mouth, it says in the scripture that life and death are in the power of the tongue. Jesus said that we'll give an account for every word, every idle word that we speak. He says that by your words, you'll be justified, and by the words, you'll be condemned. So our words carry a lot in this life. And so part of the cleansing process is allowing the Spirit of God to get a hold of your mouths. It's so important in ministry because you start to realize that what you say builds a house always. I notice that at least in terms of my relationship with my wife, that when I started to get a hold of my mouth and started to serve the Holy Spirit, I started building a house, and I started to realize after 3 and 4 months of doing this, it works. And not only does it work there, it works here, it works everywhere, because when I lace my words with the grace and serving the Holy Spirit, it changes me. And it changes people that are around me, because I start to realize that if I bring words to people that bring healing into their life, and their words of love and words of encouragement, just to take the time to listen and just to say things that are going to build them up and not tear them down, and commit to that. That when I give an account before the Lord, I can surely say, I know I did the best that I could. I really try to use this thing to glorify your name. And I'm telling you, it will change you. When we want to move in the power of the Holy Spirit, this is another way of getting a real increase in the anointing in your life, because he who speaks the words of the Father, the Spirit of God is given to him without measure. And I know, I can tell you, I will testify to you today that I tell you, when you start to let God take your mouth in every area of your life, it will change you. And it will change the people. And regardless of what the circumstances is, you will know that you have delivered the word of the Lord. And that's sometimes the word of the Lord is a simple hello. How are you doing? Or you're standing behind somebody that's having a hard time and can't figure out how to use the credit card. And you know, you just encourage them, or you help them, or you buy their groceries, or whatever it might be. It counts. And then the last thing here, deeds. Right living, conforming to the will of God in thought, word, and in deeds. The deeds. Those are the wonderful things. They are wonderful. It's when you do something that's a good deed, it overflows back to you. It makes you, it fulfills you. And some of you in here have been in situations, and maybe you're in a situation right now where things may be not totally going great, but don't keep doing the good deeds. You know? It means, it counts. It helps you. Amen. And pursue faith, love, and peace, harmony, and concord with others, and fellowship with all. Aim at and pursue faith, love, peace, harmony, and concord with others, and fellowship with all Christians. Pursuing it, aiming at it, getting along. Getting along who all call upon the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. Verse 23 says, but refuse and shut your mind against having nothing to do with trifling, ill-informed, unedifying, stupid controversies over ignorant questionings, for you know that they foster strife and breed quarrels. And the servant of the Lord must not be quarrelsome, fighting and contending. Instead, he must be kindly to everyone and mild-tempered. Preserving the bond of peace, he must be a skilled and suitable teacher, patient and forbearing, and willing to suffer wrong. He must correct his opponents with courtesy and gentleness. You know, I had an opportunity today. I haven't yet gotten back onto my Facebook. Every once in a while, the Holy Spirit leads me to comment in the political realm. It's not always, but sometimes they get to do it. And it's always to bring a kind of God's perspective on the light of somebody that's, you know, making a comment. But he always does it in a courteous way. And he always ends up telling me, he asks him, hope your family's doing well. I think we're just going to agree to disagree here. But here's another perspective. And it's amazing to me, because when the Holy Spirit leads me to do this, all kinds of people jump on and like it, first of all, which is, I guess, a good, that's an objective, right, I guess, in those things. But secondly, it silences them. Because it was actually done in love, and it's saying, hey, I just have a different opinion, but I respect what you have to say. And see, that's one of the things that's happening in our country, is we've stopped respecting one another. And we've dug our heels in our positions and stuff. But see, but one thing we forget is that Jesus is not coming back to take sides. He's coming to take over. He must correct his opponents with courtesy and gentleness in the hope that God may grant that they will repent and come to know the truth, that they will perceive and recognize and become accurately acquainted with and acknowledge it. I love that word. That they will perceive. When the power of God is on you in this way, and you see somebody's perception changed, you know that the power of God is working. Perceptions, once they get a hold of individuals, it's like strong conviction. It's like faith in the negative. And they are convinced that they know, they understand, and they have perception of the way someone is, and there's nothing else that's going to change that. And it gets embedded in them in a negative way, and it brings it, you can tell that when that gets that way. You can tell when you've gotten that way over a situation. I love it when God has blown my perceptions out of the water. And he has done it many times. I needed that. Big time. And one time, and I've shared this here before, was at Epworth Children's Home, and I had another teacher. I just didn't like her. I didn't like the way she treated the kids. I just didn't like her. And I thought she was a devil. And I convinced myself, perceiving that she had an evil spirit, and that evil spirit was manipulating her. And, you know, I built a big case. And anytime she did anything, it just entrenched me greater into that perception. But see, God had a perception of her too. He knew that she had issues, but he also knew about why she was the way she was. He knew that she had been abused, and he knew all those other things that I didn't know because I never asked him. And he pointed that out to me. And, you know, one day, you know, she just got me upset, and I thought, you know, because I was mischievous, and I certainly wasn't operating like a vessel of honor. In fact, I was becoming, I became deviant. I'm thinking I'm going to write a letter and make her upset, and so she'll come over into my office, and I'm going to kick her out of my office, and it's going to give me great delight. And it's exactly what happened. Gave the note to the kid that she sent to my office, because I was the facilitator, really, I was a principal over the school. He takes it back to her, and there I just see her stomping out of that, coming right over. Just, and I'm just smiling, and I can't wait till she comes in. And I'm trying not to smile, I'm trying not to laugh, because, you know, I was just getting so much joy out of that. Oh, you see how messed up I was? And she comes walking in, and I kicked her out of my office, you know. And she didn't leave right away. I had to really, you know, get up and get out of my chair, and had to get, come over there and then get out of my office. Finally went out, and I slammed the door behind her, and then the Holy Spirit spoke to me. Said, brilliant, you really showed her my love. But you know, the, you know, and I started to say, he said, well, let me just tell you about her, you know, and he said it in a different way, but he just imparted to me, started to show me how she'd been abused and show me that why she was the way she was. And he broke me right there. And I said, Lord, I didn't know. He said, you never asked. You see, and that changed me, because he broke my perception, and it changed my relationship with her. And I began to communicate differently to her. And we became, you know, friends to a degree. And in fact, when I got married, she bought a very nice gift for my wedding. And came. And I, you know, so I was, it was one of those things that, you know, God just changed me in that. And so we must realize and recognize that we can't afford the luxury of being the ambassadors, the servant of God, the one that wants to be a vessel of honor. We can't allow perceptions to be ingrained in those things. But what did Jesus do on the cross? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. See, he had a perception. He saw, what did he say so many times? He just said they're like people without a shepherd. He saw it. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I mean, just, it's amazing. And so you and I have those abilities in the spirit. That's called the words of knowledge. That knowledge would come to you, and God would unveil something to you, to an individual, to be able to go to maybe the root of the problem. And you know, sometimes the words we give out may be strong. You know, Jesus wasn't always given, you know, weak words. He was strong, but he always went to the heart of the problem. And he knew what people were even reasoning within themselves. See, this is how the gifts of the Holy Spirit are going to be operating in a greater manifestation in these last days, in you and in me. When we yield and decide to make the decision, I want to be a vessel of honor, Lord. I want to be. Maybe I don't know how to go about it, but, you know, I'm making a decision today. And then you get in the Word and you read these things, and you get opportunities that will come at you the next day where you have a decision to make on how you're going to serve that individual. And you can choose what comes out of your mouth. You can choose what you're thinking. You can let the mind of Christ, which you have, get into operation and start to manifest. And when you get familiar with it. I only do the things that I see the Father doing. My teaching is not of my own. Jesus gave us the way. He showed us how to do it. And we can do it too. But he's not going to make us do it. It's a decision. Amen? Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That was so good. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, we just thank you for your goodness. What a blessing it is to be in your presence tonight. Father, thank you that before all of us tonight, Lord, you're throwing that out to us, you know, to make a decision to be a vessel of honor. And Lord, many of us have already made that commitment and made that decision, and we've started our journey. But Father, I just thank you that as along the way in our journeys, you always bring adjustments. You always bring refinement. You always have a way of shining lights on us in a way that gives us the way to make the right decision, because truth is just who you are. And I thank you, Father, that though we're here on just a short time, Lord, though this life that we have is so short, it's such an honor to have the opportunity to be able to become these vessels of honor. Father, we have a heart that is very concerned about this world, about our nation, Lord God, and everything that's going on. And Lord, just as you who desire that no one would perish, Lord God, we desire that no one would perish, and we're in agreement. Father, I ask that you'd use this group tonight, Lord God, that you, those that have gathered here tonight, Lord God, that you would use them, Lord. Lord, that you would bring your healing balm upon them right now, Lord God, and heal their lives where they need healing. If they need physical healing within their body, I ask you, Jesus, right now to touch them. Father, I ask you to touch their minds, Lord God. If they need healing in their thought life, Lord, Jesus, I ask you to come and just heal their thoughts. Father, if they need to have deeds and to be presented before them, Lord, I ask you to impart to them right now, Lord God, that you would show them deeds that they can do, Lord God. Father, if they need to have their words and their vocabulary and the things that they say, Lord God, I ask that you put a guard around their mouth, Lord God, that you set two angels, Lord God, around their mouth, Lord God, and God, that they would, you would guard their mouth, Lord God, and give them choice words, words that come right out of your throne room. I ask you that, Lord Jesus. And Jesus, I just ask you now, I ask you to fill them up to overflowing now with the Holy Spirit, that you'd fill them up, Lord God. Strengthen them, Lord. Give them more, Lord, than they've ever had before. Let them leave this place, Lord God, glowing, full of your mercy, full of your kindness, full of your love. Let the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord God, reign and rule around them, Lord God. I thank you, Father, that we cast out every negative force right now, Lord God, any evil spirit, Lord God, that's come against your body, come against your children, Lord God, in any way, shape, or form, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command them to be cast away and off in Jesus' name. Jesus, I ask you to open spiritual eyes tonight, Lord God, that you open up spiritual ears tonight, Lord God, that we might see and that we might hear your voice in a much clearer manner. I thank you for these things, Jesus. Jesus, you are Lord. You are Lord of the heavens and the earth, and all authority is given to you. We give you all the glory and all the honor. We thank you. This is your church, Lord God. These people are your children, Lord God. And I give them to you tonight as I serve them, Lord God. As I serve you tonight, Lord Jesus, I ask you these things for their behalf. Just as your other servants did throughout the centuries and through the generations, as they sent and interceded them for your people, Lord God. I intercede for them tonight, Lord God, and those that could not be here. That the power of your Holy Spirit would bring us to a place that we all desire to become these vessels of honor to your glory. And to bring glory unto you. I ask you this in your name. Amen. Amen.